Hallelujah. I tell you, there's something about just emptying out, giving him the full preeminence in our lives so he can just be our all in all. Amen. So you're all in all this morning?
Yes.
You just turn to one another, greet each other in the house of the Lord with a handshake and say, he's my all in all this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Sing I Am Blessed as Brother Colley comes up for a responsive reading. We're a blessed people.
Amen.
Just to be here in the house of the Lord, to hear the word of the Lord, you're just blessed to hear and read his word. Amen. I am blessed. Oh, I am blessed. Oh, every day.
Questions. So he said that I got 28 out of 30 questions correct, and said that I'm improving. I don't know where them 30 questions come from. I don't know how I gave an answer, but I got them right some kind of way. Another thing, I had a little boy that wanted to. Want me to take him to the store? I said, okay, you gotta be good. All right. We walk in the store, I turn his hand loose. He was going like a jet. I catch him, I said, boy, don't you run no more. He said, okay, I'm not gonna run. I turn him loose, he's gone again. So when I get you out of here this time, you won't get another chance. But God is, he blesses us, and he helps us. I thought, I guess I'm glad he did in a way. I found out I got a temper I didn't know I had. So I wanted to check him to pieces. But, you know, God blesses us. He let us know. So now I know I got to pray for that. Because I held his hand a little bit and he started screaming almost. You're hurting me. So you got people would think I actually hurt him doing something to you. And people want to put you under the jail now for looking at a child the wrong way. Where if somebody would teach him at home, if somebody else had heard him before he got to the store, he wouldn't need to have been heard in the store. Anyway, we're going to read Psalm 53, verses 1 through 6. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful, Lord, for this opportunity that you've given us, Lord, to come together to worship. Lord, we love you for all that you do for us. God, we thank you and ask your blessings, your mercy be upon us. Father, we thank you for your ever-loving grace, Lord, that you give unto us. Lord, undeserving as we are, you still love us and give it to us. Lord, let us be strong enough, Lord, and weak enough to accept that which you have given us and follow in your footsteps. Lord, we ask you this morning, Lord, to let us grow stronger, Lord, from things that come upon us, Lord, in a way that we think shouldn't. But God, you teach us, and we love you, and we ask you to follow us. Lord, we ask you that the ministry that come forth from this place, Lord, that we will accept it and grow from it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Psalm 53, verses 1 through 6. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they that have done abominable iniquities. There is none that doeth good.
God look down from heaven upon the children of men, to see if there were any that understand that didn't seek God.
Every one of them is gone back. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one.
Have the workers of iniquity no knowledge? Who eat up my people as they eat bread? They have not called upon God.
There were they in great fear, where no fear was, for God has scattered the bonds of them, of him that encamped against thee. Thou hast put them to shame because God has despised them. Oh, that salvation of Israel will come out of Zion, where God bringeth forth the captivity of his people. Jacob shall rejoice and Israel shall be glad. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated.
Enjoyed that scripture reading, especially when it says, when God bringeth back the captivity. We're free this morning. We are free by the Spirit and by the Word that He's given us. Amen. Little Morty, would you come take the offering for us this morning? I say little, he's growing now. He's getting bigger. These kids, they do such a good job over here helping us in service.
We're together again, just praising the Lord. We're together again, in one accord. Oh, something good is going to happen. Something good is in store. We're together again. Praise Him.
tell us where to go and what to do. The world can tell you all these different things, but you listen to that lighthouse, he'll take you safely home. Good to have all of you here. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to have Sister Sharon Suresh back there with us. Good to see you, sis. And all of you with us today, we appreciate you. Thanks for coming. We have Brother Vernon Manahan from the Philippines and his lovely wife, Sister Irene. Glad they were both getting able to come. I think she'd been here one time before, several years ago, and Brother Vernon's been many times. For those of you that don't know, Brother Vernon is kind of our contact in the Philippines. Everything we do kind of goes through him. So all the money, all the funds, different things goes through Brother Vernon. I trust him with my life because he's fixing to stand here and talk to my life. Okay, so I trust him with that. Well, I trust him with the money, too. So, but it's good to have him with us, and he has a congregation there in the Philippines and in Manila. It's still Manila's huge, but in Manila, and he has a congregation there. He's been the pastor there for several years, and we sure have appreciated him and love him with the love of the Lord, and we want him to take his liberty this morning. We don't have a second service after the first service is over. We're going to go down to the park in Gillsville. If you don't know where it's at, follow somebody, and we're going to go down and have hot dogs and chili. And I want to thank Sister Rachel and Sister Esther for kind of taking the thing by the reins, and all of you others that's helped behind the scenes. I sure appreciate that. Thank you so very much. And we'll have things for the kids to do. We'll have a bouncy house and slides and all that stuff for them to do, and games and all. So, and us adults can fellowship, or we can. No, you can't slide down a slide. No, Brother Donnie. No, Brother Donnie. There's a weight limit. Somewhere. Sometime. Well, we're going to have a good time today. Brother Vernon's going to take his liberty, and then after we get finished here, we're going to go down there and have a good time in the Lord, good time of fellowship. So we love you. Let's sing Open the Eyes of My Heart as our brother comes and ministers for us. Brother Vernon Manahan from the Philippines, from Manila, and just pull on the gift. Oh, let me tell you something. Hold on a minute. For those of you that know or don't know, we all are taking care of Brother Dale now back at the house. And the reason Anna and Richard's not here today is because, and forgive me if I take just a second, but two nights ago, we're spending the night with him every night, me or T or Anna, we're switching up. Pretty much there with him 24/7, and Mom all the time there. But he slept 2 hours two nights ago. Me and Mom fought with him all night. All right. Last night, 30 minutes of sleep. The night before that, I mean, there's two nights ago, 2 hours. Night before that, two. Last night, half an hour. And at 12 o'clock tonight, if you're up, I want you to pray that he gets a good night rest. Because when he don't rest, we don't rest. It is a fight from dark to daylight. And it's not him. It's not his fault. It's the devil's fault. It's that thing that gets on him called sundowners at night. And I know some of you have dealt with it. I know Janet and them did too. And it just changes the person. It makes them restless and all. But we're going to pray. There's only one physician, and that's God, a true one. He's the great one. So we're going to pray about midnight. If you don't mind, just raise up and say a prayer. That thing will break off of him. And I know his body is tired. He's 83 years old, and he's only had five and a half hours sleep in 3 days. He sleeps during the day some, but still, he needs to rest at night. We all need to rest at night. So just remember that in your prayers tonight at midnight, because that's usually when it starts coming on, about midnight. We're going to pray that thing won't be there anymore. Not just tomorrow night, not just tonight. We're going to pray that thing completely out of the room. All right? Amen. You believe the Lord? Amen. You believe he can do that? Amen. I believe he can do that. Amen. If I didn't, I wouldn't ask. Amen. So let's just believe. Let's sing Open the Eyes of My Heart as Brother Vernon comes and speaks for us.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Oh, Jesus. I want to see you.
Let's give the Lord a clap offering. Amen. Amen. Thank you for the musicians. You may now be seated for a while. And before we go to the preaching of the word, I'd just like to give the greetings from our congregation back in the Philippines. And also for some ministers that have not been in the U.S., but knows Brother Samuel Dale, Brother Wade, and they have received all the support from the mission funds and everything. So they're extending all their greetings. And I'm thankful to the Lord that I was able to go back. The last time I was here was, I was thinking this morning, 2019, January, together with my wife. But I was looking back, for the very first time that I went here was in 2002 during a missionary meeting, May of 2002. And the Brother Ed Biscoll was the speaker during the time, and I was working with Bible Believers, their mission office in the Philippines. And so that is how I got connected with Brother Samuel. And so I was there to make a mission report, and Brother Ed was speaking. And from that time, I had a connection with Pastor Samuel Dale. And years later, 2005, I was not yet a pastor when I went here in 2002. I was doing missionary works. I was preaching, but I was not a pastor. And 2005, that was the first time, the only time that Pastor Samuel went to the Philippines. And that was the day that I was, the pastoral ministry was being turned over to me. And so it was, he was our preacher. He was a witness to that event. And 2 years later, I was given the chance again to be back here in Georgia. That was the first time I preached in this church. And from that time on, Brother Samuel, he continuously sent monthly funds for the missions, distributed to different ministers and the works of God, of the ministry in the Philippines. And and those funds that were being given to the ministers has yielded many souls, won souls in different parts of the country. I give reports of the accounting of the money, at the same time the pictures of so many souls that were harvested because of the help that we have received here, and it has been continuing until today. So we thank for the Lord for that thing. And also that in that year 2005 there was a big typhoon that and Brother Samuel was there, and they rebuilt a church, or I would say churches in that part of the country. So that was the relief efforts of many local ministers, and Brother Samuel was all behind that. And the next time that I went there was here was 2014. After that was another super typhoon that hit, and I made a report here. And during that time, of course, this church has also made a big support for rebuilding houses, livelihoods, and churches, and all these things that has been done all over the country that was affected by the super typhoon. And again, a year later, 2015, I think it was the 40th anniversary, if I'm not mistaken, of this church, and I was invited to preach here on the 4th of July. So all these things I consider as a privilege for me, that the Lord has allowed me to be here. And I was telling Brother Ernie Villanueva before, he was a good friend of mine, I said, if not for the ministry, I may not have able to travel around, not only in the U.S., but in different countries. But God knows what He wants us to do for Him. See? And sometimes, as Brother Luis was saying a while ago, we always want to take full control of our situation. And we make plans, so many plans in our life. And I heard a preacher before, he said, if you want God, to make God laugh, tell Him all your plans. Yeah. Because our plans are nothing for the Lord. See, we can plan, but we should commit. And that is my number one weakness. Because when I was young, I was in the military, and we were taught to make plans. Plan A, plan B, and plan C. If plan A fails, there's plan B and there's plan C. And when I became a believer, I realized that you can make plan A to Z and it will not work. Yeah, you can consume the whole alphabet and it will not make sense. So I have three still plans in my life, plan A, plan B, plan C. My plan A is to depend on God. If it fails, my plan B is to depend on God. And my plan C is to depend on God. So I never fail because that's only one plan. So we thank the Lord for all those things. And last night, yesterday, I saw Brother Samuel, and I was, it was heartbreaking for me to see him, a strong man, you know, a man of God for many years. And as I always tell to our congregation, there are many people that can influence our life, but so few people that can really impact our lives. And Brother Samuel is one of the pastors that has really a big impact in my ministry. Even before I became a pastor, and then I became a pastor, it's like a spiritual father to me. And as I told you, our connection in the past years. And so when I saw him yesterday, I was really, it was really heartbreaking for me. But it was my prayer last January. I said, there are three ministers outside of our country that has great impact in my life. One is Brother Ed Biscal, because I worked with him for many years. Brother Gerd Rodewald from Germany, I worked with him also in the mission works. And Brother Samuel Dale. And my prayer during that time, this year, January, I said, Lord, if you will allow me, I want to see these brothers because they're getting old. Brother Ed is just turned 89. Brother Gerd is 83. Brother Samuel is 83. And he's not doing good physically. And I said, I want to see them. I don't want to see them in a box. I want to see them alive. And so I was praying. And I just want to hug them and thank them, because I am what I am today because of these brothers. And the Lord surely granted it. Last June, I was in Cloverdale. Last August, I was in Germany. And now I'm here. And I mean, Brother Samuel is not my biological father, but I said he has a great impact in my life. Amen. So yesterday I was walking him around the house, and I think that is my mission in this trip. Just even I don't preach, it's okay, but as long as I was able to walk him around the house, and then that's a great thing for me. I mean, people may not understand me, but for me, that's personal, something personal. And so I love the whole family, Brother Wade, Brother Terrence, Sister Anna, their families. I feel part of the family. I feel part of this church. I'm relaxed in the sense that I believe that I'm speaking to people that are not strangers to me. Some of you may be new here, but we came from the mind of God. So I believe that we are all doing what the Lord wants us to do. Amen. And so today I was praying what the Lord wants to tell this congregation, and the Lord inspired into my heart about this subject, the continuity of the work of God. We believe that this work is the work of God. It's not the work of man. It's not the work of the first pastor or Pastor Samuel or whoever will take over in the future, but it is the work of God. And the prophet said, the Spirit never dies. No, if this is the work of the Holy Spirit, this will continue on. This will continue on. So before we continue, I just want to invite you to stand, and we will just read a part of the scriptures. And it is in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 1. I love this book. It is full of wisdom. When Solomon, of course, he was the one who wrote this. When Solomon was young, he wrote the book of Psalms. In middle age, he wrote the Proverbs. And in the old age, he wrote this book, right? He was already full of wisdom during that time. And this is what he told, verse 4 to verse 9. He said, one generation passeth away, and another generation comes, but the earth abideth forever. The sun also arise, and the sun goeth down, and haste to his place where he arose. The wind goeth toward the south, and turn about unto the north. It whirls around continually, and the wind returns again according to his circuits. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full, unto the place from whence the rivers come, thither they return again. All things are full of labor, and man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for these words. May you make it alive in our hearts this morning. We just want to encourage each one of us, oh God, as we walk in this spiritual journey that we have in front of us, Lord, until we reach the finish line. And may strengthen one another and grant, Lord, that we can take our individual portion in this word that will be preached this morning. We give back to you all the glory, the honor, and the thanksgiving in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 We can now be seated. Again, God bless you all. So, I want to talk this morning about the continuity of the work of God, because we believe that God is always doing things for a reason, for a purpose. He doesn't do things randomly, like people will do things randomly without thinking about it. But God has a plan. God knows. God is in control. God knows what He's doing, and He will fulfill this plan in our life, no matter how long it takes. Amen. Because God is not bounded by time. We are bounded by time, but God is not bounded by time. And I want to read a quote here. This is a message that was preached back in April 4, 1959, if I'm not mistaken. It says here, "I truly believe that the works of God has many faces to it. I believe that the church is the works of God. I believe missionary is the works of God. Evangelism is the works of God. And above all, soul saving is the works of God. Divine healing is the works of God. And the gifts of the Spirit is the works of God. It could be talked on many different outlets." In other words, we can talk the whole day about the works of God, and we may not be able to finish the whole day, the subject. But in a few moments, I would like just to give you us a little thought on what's God doing in our midst. Of course, we know all that. And just to encourage everyone. Now, As the prophet always mentioned, that civilization has traveled geographically. It started from the east, going to the north and to the west, and going back to the east. And the same thing he said, it's always the same, like in the spiritual sense, that the gospel or the gospel light has traveled from the east. It traveled back, went to the west, and now it's going back to the east. We, the Philippines, is in the Southeast Asian part of the globe, and we know that in Matthew 24 it says that this gospel should be preached to the whole world, and then the end shall come. Amen. So there are so many signs of the times and everything that we see, but unless this gospel light is, this message is preached throughout the world, the end will not yet come. But we can see that this gospel has traveled around the world. Amen. And it's now going back to the east. We are seeing signs and everything, but we all see this as a continuing work of God in our midst. Let me read to you as I lay the foundation here in the message super sign. He said, "I want you to notice the unchanging continuity of God's word and His works. He never changes His program. He never changes His ways. Just as perfectly, the scriptures is in perfect continuity. Everything that God does is in continuity with what He has done and what He did first, that He will do in the second time the same way. And just to prove it, He made laws on the earth, right? He is always giving His people a sign before the event happens. And furthermore, He would say that all these signs foreruns any event that will happen in the earth, okay? And He said here that if we just follow the continuity of God's word, we will never fall or fail. If we'll not take the modern trend of the day, so many things are trending in the social media, but if we'll not follow it and see the and we'll not try to inject something else into the word of God, just follow the continuity of for it in it is for this age. And He said, watch what takes place. Will go straight home one of these days. Always does that and never fail. See? So before God sends judgment to the earth, He always sends a prophet. Of course, we all know that. The prophet has come. He has gone. He has left a message. See? Now, I want to talk a little bit about this subject individually first, then about in the whole church. In the life that we have, the Bible says that our life is 70 years. And if by reason of strength, we reach 80. Yeah. And of course, some of you are more than 80. And that's a bonus in our life. But the standard is 70, right? So I have 12 years more before I reach 70. And so, but I believe I will be alive in the coming of the Lord. Amen. So In these different stages, each stage, there are different challenges that we need to overcome. You may be, let's say you may be in your teenage years, or maybe in the middle age, or maybe around my age, or maybe even older. But all of us in a different stage of our life, we have our own struggles, right. Our own challenges. Yes. My challenge when I was a teenager was, it's not my challenge anymore today. Right. But I have a challenge today. I have challenges, I have problems, I have struggles. And you two have the same thing. Right. It may not be your struggle, may not be my struggle. And your challenges may not be my challenges, but I do have my own challenges. And we need to overcome all these challenges. So when these challenges come in our life, life does not stop. We continue. We continue. We do not just sit and have a pity party and we move on. We move forward. Because that is how human beings are built. Right, we have resiliency, and we want to go always be moving forward. There's something embedded in us that we learn to adapt in every situation, in every situation that is in front of us, and that gives us a way to overcome. Yes. Right, and as we overcome these certain challenges, there's another stage, another level of challenges. It's a never-ending level of challenges until the Lord takes us away. Right, and the same thing is true with our spiritual journey. When we accepted the Lord as Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, our journey started, right? Yes. Yes. Our spiritual journey. We all passed through these steps of grace as the message taught us: justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Spirit. Yes. Then as we move on, we realize that Christian life is a life of sacrifice. Amen. It's not a picnic. There's always battle going on inside. And the greatest enemy that we have is not our seatmates, it's ourselves. Yes, sir. Right? And that's what the prophet taught us. See? And so we can see that as individuals, we will have to face all these problems. We will have to face all these challenges. It's either you're a sister, a brother, a minister. There's nobody. Nobody is exempted to all these things. And God allows these things for a reason. God is behind every move, the prophet said. So there's no accidents. There's no oops in the Lord. Everything happens for a reason, right? And all these things is for our own good. And sometimes we cannot understand things that are happening to us. We start questioning the Lord. We start asking, why does these things has to happen, right? And we are serving the Lord. We are not unbelievers. But these things are still happening. And as I get older, I realize that God allows these things to happen because this is not our permanent home. If we feel so contented, we will not seek for the rapture anymore. We want the rapture. We want the coming of the Lord. You may be comfortable in this country compared to our country in the Philippines, but this comfort will not last. Right. It's not for all eternity. Right. I may be comfortable in my own country, but it will not last. No. Government will change. Yep. Yes. Our health will change. Right. Yes. Everything around us that seems to be comfortable, our comfort zone, it can change abruptly. Yes. We saw that in the pandemic, right? It was a preview of what can happen. Yes. When the squeezing time comes. Right. So now if we look as a church, as a believers collectively, as a church, through the church ages, we saw how the first church ages in the first years, how they left their first love. Right. We saw in the next church age how persecution came in. And the church went into what we call the dark ages because the word was hidden from them. Right. But the works of the Lord did not stop there. It continued. People thought they can stop the spreading of the word of God, but it was already prophesied that it is spread throughout the world before the end will come. And when the enemy comes like a flood, the Bible said that the Lord raises up a standard. So it is not the Lord is just reacting, but he knows. But when the enemy comes, there's already something that is ready to face these problems, right? And of course, the Reformation came, and we have they got the revelation that the just shall live by faith. Some stopped there, but the works of the Lord did not stop there. It continued. There has to be a sanctification. The church learned the importance of holiness. Yeah, yeah. Not everybody followed to the next step of grace, right, right. But the works of the Lord continued. Right? Right. Right? And some stopped, you know, the Methodists and everything. Right, right. They stopped in that sanctification stage, yeah. But the works of the Lord continued. Amen. When the church as a whole, when God saw that they were already sanctified, God has to restore back the gifts. Yeah. Right? The speaking in tongues and all these things, the healing. But it was not yet the full restoration. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit came. We all know that as message believers. And then in our age, in our time, there was the restoration, the full restoration of the revelation of the word. Of course, not everybody, the Pentecostals, didn't see it. But praise God, you and I saw this. Right? We should be thankful. Instead of just criticizing them that they cannot see it, we just be thankful that we saw it. Who are we to see this revelation? Who are we to continue on with the light? Right? But God chose you and me. Right? So many have stopped, but we continue. Now, and in the days that we're living today, we can see the fullness of revelation. Now, there's no new revelation, as we have read. There's no new thing under the sun. If a preacher comes to this pulpit and say, I have a new revelation, then he's a liar. Because there's no new revelation. But our understanding is just progressing. Brother Branham already shared to the whole the mysteries that we needed for a rupturing faith. But the people are not yet so ready to accept it and to understand it. But as the age goes and goes, we are starting to understand. Not that we are better than the former preachers, but the anointing is fresh every morning, right? So the Bible, as the prophet said, became a new Bible. Amen. And that was even in his time. Yes. And now it's getting more clearer and clearer to us, not only by the revelation, but as we see the modern events being made clear by prophecy, right? And so now God is continuously working towards our maturity. Yes. We are being shaped into maturity, amen. Right? Because of the prophet of Malachi 4. And it is many message believers have stopped with Malachi 4. God sent a prophet. God sent a prophet. And we know that God sent them. So what did this prophet was sent for? He has a message. We have to dig into the message. It is a personal thing. It's not enough to know that God sent a prophet, because Malachi 4 pointed us to Ephesians chapter 4. Which is the fivefold ministry. Yes. Right. This fivefold ministry at present, today, they are so anointed to preach the message tailor-fit for this age. Yes. Right. For this age. Not for the age when Brother Branham was here, but for this age. Yes. See, can you imagine, like, for example, Brother Branham would mention about cockle bursts and everything. And a rabbit in a snowshoes. Yeah. If I'm a Filipino and I will preach that in the Philippines, they will not understand what cocklebur is. They will not understand what's a rabbit in a snowshoes, because we don't have snow in the Philippines and we don't have cocklebur in the Philippines. But the anointing to the fivefold ministry in a specific geographical location, you can preach the message the way Brother Branham preached it, but tailor fit for the people that are listening. That is the gift. That is the gift now. Not that the man is better, but he can preach what Brother Branham preached in a setting for a locality, for a certain locality. See? So this Ephesians chapter 4, the fivefold ministry, God has anointed the true fivefold ministry to preach the word. Where will they get the message? From the prophet. But they can explain it. They can expound it. Not a new revelation, but a clearer understanding for the people, for the audience. Right? And many foreign missionaries can come and they can express it in the way that the local cannot express it, right? And so Malachi 4 pointed us to Ephesians chapter 4, and Ephesians chapter 4 will point us to Revelation chapter 4, where John types, come up hither. The Holy Spirit said to John, come up higher. I will show you things that are to be.
Amen.
So we need the Holy Spirit to show us the things that are to be. Before they come, we will know it. Amen. We don't need intelligence officers to tell us what's happening in Israel. We will know it because we have a prophet. Yeah? For them, it's new. No, it's a new news for them. And they will say they have the best intelligence you know, network that they can do it, but we have a prophet. You remember Elisha, the prophet, telling the king of Israel what Ben-Hadad, the Syrian, will do. And Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, was telling, maybe there's a traitor among us. But the soldier said, no, there's no traitor. But they, the Israelites, have a prophet. We have a prophet. So we will know the things before it happens. We will not be surprised. So many people get surprised, get agitated, get excited with what's happening in Israel. The bride doesn't get excited, because excited will only last for a short period of time. The next month, people will be talking about Christmas. See? But we are not excited, but when we see these events coming up, we are stirred. We are quickened. Because we know that these things the prophet has already told us. So I am stirred. I am quickened, and I know that the coming of the Lord is near. It's not just excitement. Unbelievers get excited. The bride is not excited. But we are quickened. We are stirred up in the inside. Amen. Now, so we had these first generations of ministers in the message after the prophet passed away. And most of the first, I would call them the first generation ministers, some of them have passed away. Some of them are getting older, and newcomers are those who are young people in the back in the 70s are now in their 50s, in their 60s. We are getting older. And the prophet said, this generation will get weaker and wiser. So we are wiser in the sense that we have technology. We are wiser because of the experience that we have. But we get weaker and weaker because we inherit all this disease and sickness. But God is revealing something to us. Amen. There's the continuity of the work of God. Amen. We do not trash the older ministers, because without them, there's no young ministers. Without us, there will be no incoming younger ministers. During the height of the COVID, the ministers in the Philippines, we are having a meeting online, and because the pastors in the Philippines were dying every week, 2-3 pastors a week. And some of the congregation, they don't have associate pastors, they don't have other ministers, and the church will just scatter. So we started talking about succession planning, right? And, you know, make a succession plan in case you die in COVID during that time. There will be no vacuum of leadership. And, of course, everybody agreed on that. And we realized that if a church is a work of God, as we have read the quote, this will continue. God will raise somebody else. And the congregation will realize, will discern that this man was raised to be the next pastor or the next leader of the certain locality. Because it is a work of God. Amen. It does not stop in the death of the pastor. It does not stop on the retirement of the pastor or when the pastor gets an accident or gets sick. It continues. And sometimes this is the problem in a transition period. This is the problem. Because the congregation will look at always the next leader. They will look for the qualities of the former leader. It happens in the corporate world. It happens in the military. It happens in every organization. And it happens in the church. And every time there's a transition, sometimes people leave the church because they fail to see that it is the leadership of the Holy Spirit and not of a man. If you see that it is the Holy Spirit leading, the Holy Spirit will operate on the specific gift of a person, not on the specific gift of the former leaders. And I believe every congregation of the message should know about it, because we have heard of church splits. We hear of people, you know, leaving the church because they don't like the leader and like this and like that. But it's not the man. Maybe this on this specific period of time, this is the kind of leadership that the congregation needs. But later on in this stage of our life as a church, this is another leadership that they need. Because God is always leading with the spiritual food in due season. We cannot just copy somebody else. We cannot just continue on and carry on. There's always something new to do for the Lord. Okay? We will give some scriptural examples on that later on. So we see that there's no new thing under the sun. The word that was from the beginning, the revelation, and the understanding is now progressing. And there are God called ministers in our midst, always. Always in different localities. Of course, if there are God called ministries, there are fake ministers who think that they are called, but they are not called, right? So, in the message respects, Brother Branham exhorted the congregation to, he said, stay with your pastor. He's the shepherd that God ordained to get you through. Right. It's not the man. Yeah. It's the anointing of God to that man. And the anointing always transferred to the next, then to the next, until the Lord comes. Amen. Amen. Now, let's talk about the work of the ministry first. Then we will talk about the individual. Ministers are servants of God, serving God's people. I think that was what Brother Luis was saying last Wednesday, that we ministers are servants. We are not here to be served, but we are to serve you. Amen. But the way we serve you is we give you the spiritual food. Not the literal food, although we can give that to you. But the main thing of a minister is to serve the spiritual food. Amen. If you cannot feed the flocks, as the Lord commanded Peter, then we are not ministers. Right? Right? But each ministry has a beginning, therefore it has an ending. Yeah. There's no such thing as there's no retirement for ministry. Yeah. There is. Amen. There is. And even the prophet said, I have a new ministry. He transitioned from this kind of ministry to different kind, depending on the need of the people. Amen. Right? So at the ending of each individual ministry, the works of the Lord does not stop. That's right. It moves on. Yes. Because it is the work of the Holy Spirit. Now let's go to a little bit of the life of Moses. Of course, you know, everybody knows the story about Moses and how he was called in the Exodus chapter 3. But even before he was called, God knows that he will be the deliverer. I don't believe that leaders are made. Leaders are born. You are either born a leader or you are not. The only thing that the training will do to you is to let you know that you are born a leader. But it was already there from the beginning. So God was already protecting Moses from the Nile River to the Pharaoh's house and all these things until he reached the right age. After being trained for 40 years in Egypt, the Lord said, you have to strip that away from you. See? Yeah, right. And you may ask, why did God allow 40 years of training and it will be stripped? Because Moses has to know that he's not in full control. Because the human education taught him that he can control everything. But he realized that he cannot. So it took 40 years for him to learn that and another 40 years to strip everything. And then the ministry started for him. At 80 years old, when the time that he is not even capable of doing what God wants him to do. The prophet said, we have to master the thought of human ability. So at the age of 80, Moses was already a master of that. He knows that he cannot do anything. And God said, now I can use you. Now I can use you. And so, we move fast forward. Moses, after another 40 years, got old, right? And let me read to you this part of the scriptures in Deuteronomy chapter 31. He said, and Moses, verse 7, chapter 31 of Deuteronomy, and Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, this is now the turnover, be strong and of good courage, for thou must go with the people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. So that is the job description of Joshua. You will bring them in and divide the inheritance. Moses' job description was not to bring them in. It was not to divide the lot. Moses' job description is to bring them out. So when he was able to do that, after bringing them out, ministry is over for Moses. He has to turn it over. Not because he is old, but because he has done what he needs to do. Right? And after our purpose in this life, God takes us away. Either by accident, by sickness, or by sleep. But God takes us away. So we have to do while we are here, do what we can do as the Lord leads us. Right? So moving forward in chapter 34, verse 5 of the same book, he said, so Moses, the servant of the Lord, died. in the land of Moab according to the word of the Lord, and he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab over against Beth Peor, but no man know his sepulcher until this day. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyes was not dim. Nope. Amen. His natural force abated. Amen. One time I was praying, Lord, if I get old, I want this kind of testimony. But God did not answer my prayer because I have my eyeglasses already. But you see, everyone likes to get old without getting sick. And God granted it to Moses. So he did not die because he was sickly, because his purpose was over. So remember this. This is the wisdom here. If our purpose on earth is over, whether you're young or old, God takes you home. To live is Christ, to die is gain. Right? Death just brings us to the presence of God. I have spoken to many funeral services, and I always say that the death will always bring us to the presence of God. And there was, people are crying because but they haven't got that revelation. Some people even message believers that they are afraid to die. So you have to nail it to them that death is not a fearful thing. What is important is for us to fulfill our purpose in this life, not our purpose, but God's purpose, and then we're ready to go. Of course, you can ask for a little bit of extension. Yeah. But you know, in Hezekiah, asked for an extension of his life. He got in trouble with the Syrian. Because the perfect will of the Lord was to take him that day. But he cried to the Lord. God answered prayer. God is a gentleman. But it was the permissive will. So he got in trouble with the Syrian. If you could have gone home, there would be no trouble. Right? So sometimes it happens. We cannot understand it. But we don't have to understand it. And as I were talking, we said, God is not obligated to explain to you everything that happens in your life. He has no obligation whatsoever. All we can do is to have faith and believe in him. Right? And so, Joshua, the son of Nun, full of spirit of wisdom, Moses had laid his hands upon him. There was a proper turnover. There was a transition. No, Joshua was not a random pick. No. Joshua was with Moses all the time. He was a servant of Moses. He saw how Moses moved, how Moses decided. He may not agree with the decision of Moses, but he respected Moses. He could have go over the top and said, Moses, you're old, I'm young, I'll take over. But he didn't do that. He waited for the right time. And when the right time came, Moses laid upon him, laid his hands, and the anointing went to Joshua. It was not Joshua because he was a great man or a great warrior. It was not Moses because he was the prophet of God. But the same anointing to Moses was the same anointing to Joshua. See? Now, after that scenario, in the book of Joshua chapter 1, he said, now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake to Joshua. Before he was talking to Moses, now he's talking to Joshua. Not Aaron, not other people, but Joshua. Right? Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise. They mourned for 30 days for the death of Moses. But they cannot mourn for Moses for the rest of his life. Because there's still a mission to continue. Right? Go over this Jordan, thou, all these people, into the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. We jump to verse 6. He said the same thing. The Lord said the same thing what Moses said. Be strong and of good courage. Yes. They need strength. They need courage to continue on with the mission at hand. Yes. All right? And the success and the prosperity of what Joshua will do depends on us being strong, being courageous, and following the word of God. So there's no new message. You will not try to impress people. As I always say, when we have, like we call it an elders, a men's fellowship, we just share how to, because maybe some of the brothers will have a calling in the ministry. I would always say, if God calls you to preach, don't preach to impress the people. Don't preach to entertain the people. This is not an entertaining stage. You preach so that people will be blessed. You preach that the people will have a relationship with the Lord. Because some people I'm not referring to any other ministers, but this is reality. Some ministers preach to impress the people, yes, that they have a higher or a deeper revelation, but that's not true. See? It's always God's anointing. No matter who stands in front, if the heart of the people is right and the heart of the preacher is right, God can move. God can move. Amen. So Joshua took the mantle, continued on, accomplished his mission. Then after that was the judges. And the judges, it took 13 judges, one after the other. Once a judge dies, they go back to servitude. They forget the Lord. And the Lord will, they will cry for the Lord, and the Lord will give them another judge. So we can see in the book of Judges the whole continuity of the work of the Lord. It doesn't stop. When Othniel died, when Ehud died, when Barak died, well, until the time of Samson, God always raised a judge. Yes. Yes. You can read that in the book of Judges. And he heard the cry of the people and he raised somebody else. God knows whom to raise. Yes. Amen. We don't have to campaign like a politician, you know, that they will campaign, I'm the best and you can count on me. Yeah. But God knows who will call. Yeah. See? And once he calls the person, he equips this person. He qualifies this person. Amen. And if we will give that a chance, then God will move, can move in a certain congregation. Right? And so we see the transition, the smooth transition, the turnover. Of course, it was not that easy. There were opposition on the side, opposition on the left, on the right. But if God calls you, God calls you. Nobody can take you away from that place. And we can see the life of Elijah, the same thing. In 1 Kings chapter 19, we see there that in the time that Elisha was being called, here was Elijah. He just experienced the Mount Carmel experience. It was victory. Then the juniper tree, a time of depression for Elijah, and then the cave experience wherein he heard the still small voice of God. Amen. He was ready to quit. Elijah was ready to retire, or maybe go home to the Lord. And the Lord, but the Lord said to him, your ministry is not yet over. Your ministry is not yet over. You will have to anoint Hazael, king of Syria, Jehu, king of Israel, and Elisha. So you can see that he has still a ministry. But the first encounter that he has was not about Hazael or Jehu, but Elisha. Yeah. And when he saw Elisha, he called Elisha. And Elisha was stealing the land, and He told Elijah, let me kiss my parents first, tell them goodbye, and said, no. It's either you leave it alone and you go with me, or you stay there. And so we can read in that chapter that he returned back from him, and he took the yoke of oxen and everything and burned it and boiled it. There's no turning back. He was a farmer. He burned all the instruments of farming. So if he decided to go back, there's no more job for him. You have to decide. And so when he decided to follow God according to the plan of God, not according to his ambition or to his plans, he became the servant of Elijah. Until we reach the book of 2 Kings, where Elisha was about to get the mantle from Elijah. This was a message preached by the prophet in the 200 robe. And so when Elijah took his mantle, when Elijah was about to go, Elisha was asking. He was asking for something. He wanted what? A double portion. Not that he wanted to be greater than Elijah, but Elisha will do something more for the glory of God. So we can see again the continuity of God's work. In fact, there are 5 comings of Elijah, right? But here, in this specific scenario, before he was taken away, he said, what you ask is a hard thing. It's not an easy thing. But if you look at me, and the prophet said, that means singleness of mind. Yeah. If you focus not on Elijah, not on Elijah, but on the God of Elijah. Because many people just look to the person. They look to the person. That's why when the pastor passed away, or retired, They don't want to go to church anymore. That's happening. I'm not talking about it. I'm talking about many churches in the Philippines. Why? Because all those years, they were not looking to God. They were looking to a man. And you will never know it until God shakes you. He will say, boy, you're looking at the man. You're not looking at me. See? Our confidence sometimes is in the man because he is so anointed that you will put everything in him. But the middle of the Bible says it's better to put your trust in man and in God rather than in man. Amen. So we can see that the work of God will continue. So Elijah went off the scene. He was taken by a chariot of fire. And the second 100 robe fell. It was not about the robe. But God, when Elijah took it, he smote the Jordan River. And he was looking. He said, in verse 14 of chapter 2 of 2 Kings, he said, and he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and he smote the water and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? He was not looking for Elijah anymore. He loves Elijah. He served Elijah. He was focused on Elijah. He wanted a double portion. But he had the revelation when he got the second 100 robe. It is not Elijah. It's not about Elijah. It's about the God of Elijah. So when he looked for the God of Elijah, he got the double anointing. The continuity of God's work. Because he knows that he will. It was not the command to anoint Hazael and Jehu was given to Elijah. But who fulfilled it? Elisha. So God, did God make a mistake? No. It was God. All the time it was his work moving to these different people because God will get the glory at the end. We are all instruments. I am an instrument. You are an instrument of God. We thank, we appreciate everyone who are instruments of the blessings of God. But it is, the glory should always go back to God. If you fail to give back the glory to God, we take all the glory. We take all the glory and the blessing stops. The blessing stops. We have to make sure and to be very sure that when we are working for the Lord, we know that we are just instruments. Like this microphone, like these instruments. These instruments can play good. But without anybody playing here, it's just trash. But with the right anointing of the people using this, it becomes in harmony. It becomes a blessing. So the same thing to all of us. So now, it doesn't stop in the ministry. Now we go to the individual. Okay? I'll be closing in a few minutes. In the book of John, chapter 14, verse 12, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall ye do also, and greater works than this shall he do, because I go unto my Father. It's not that we are greater than Jesus Christ, but now this is a many-membered body. We are more spread out. What you can do here, we can do in the Philippines, we can do in other countries. This, we have a certain measure of anointing from the Lord. And it is his work, not our works. That's why it's important. No? Again, another quote, he says, it's always best to obey what the Holy Spirit says do. Don't talk back, just obedience. Just obedience. You might not understand why, but do it anyway. It's the Holy Spirit. God is always right. I've been in the mission field for quite a number of years. And sometimes when you go to a certain country and only 2-3 people will respond, you feel frustrated. Because you're expecting more people to come into the Lord. Because it's a good statistics mission report. That's what it's all about, a report. But even though 1 or 2 or 3 get converted, it's worth 10,000 words, one soul. So as I grow maturely, older, I realize it's not about the number of people that you will preach to. It's not a number of people that you're, maybe you're sent to, maybe I was sent to a country just for one person. One person. When I went in Pakistan some years ago, I was preaching in a group of a mix of believers and unbelievers. And after the service, they have all bottles of oil. They want you to pray for that because they are so superstitious that the oil becomes a holy oil after the preacher prays for it. But they never accepted the message. I was disappointed when I was going home, Brother Reed, because I'm not an oil preacher. So that was not my ministry, but that is what happened. But a few years later, there was a brother, a young brother who told me that God spoke to him during that service. Just for one brother. One brother. And I said, I'm sorry, Lord. I thought, I was looking for, you know, a big response. But God was dealing only with that person, with that young people. And I would say, mission accomplished. But sometimes human tendency looks at the number of people. Human tendency looks at, you know, statistics and everything, because it's always good to report that we have baptized 1,000 people. We preach to 1,000, 2,000, and 4,000. You go to Africa, you baptize thousands of people. Yeah. Why? Because they're overpopulated. That's the reason. Yeah. Right. Not because there are many believers, but the ratio and proportion of the people there compared to the believers, 25,000 is still a small group. Right? But if you go, like, for example, I go to Laos, I mean to Cambodia. If you have five people to baptize, that's equivalent to 5,000 already. It's not the number of the souls. That's why the prophet said, always check your motive and objective in doing things for the Lord. See? So we have just to obey the Lord. And here is another quote from the prophet said, here's the thing, knowing how to yield yourself. If there's a work of the Lord, there's a worker supposed to be. But this worker has to yield themselves to the Lord. And some people sit in the church. Some can yield themselves to preaching. Not all are called to preach. Some can yield themselves to teaching. Some can yield themselves to prophesying. Some can yield themselves to other gifts. So all the gifts won't be alike. Paul said they was not alike, but each man is called and placed into the church for a purpose, for a reason. And if you'll find out what God can use him best at and yield himself to that place, he said, he, I would add, or she, will be a success. The only way to success, to a successful life or a fulfilled life, is we are living the life that God planned us to be. We can have so many ambitions in life. We want to do this and we want to do this, but if you are not ordained of God to do that, it will be useless. At the end of the day, we'll still have emptiness. But if you, especially the young ones, if you focus yourself to doing what God wants us to do, you may not be rich, you may not be fulfilled in the terms of the world, but deep inside you're fulfilled. Amen. That's what Bear Boyd was telling me while we were driving. He said, he's contented, he's fulfilled. Why will you buy a new car and be in debt? Right? Because the eye is not satisfied. You have an iPhone today. Tomorrow they will have a new one. And you want to buy it. You want to buy it. You don't stop buying. You have shoes and you want to buy more. But you have only a pair of feet. You cannot wear. That's why I told my wife, don't go shopping buying so many shoes. Because you cannot wear it all at the same time. See? Let it worn out for a while, then buy. See? But we see, people are not satisfied. We want to do something else. We want to have something more. See? And this is my last quote. He said, in the Bible, in the Church Age book, he said, this is Brother Branham speaking, I sincerely believe that the Spirit of God has been speaking to us, not only teaching us the truths of the ages. You know, we can receive all the teaching. Teaching places us positionally, but preaching, it opens our hearts. Right? He has been faithfully dealing with the hearts that they may turn to him. That is the reason for all the preaching and the teaching, for it is in the preaching and teaching of the word that the sheep hear the voice of God and follow him. He said, not for one moment do I bring a message to the people that they may follow me or join my church or start some fellowship and organization. You see, this is in the message. But many ministers, message ministers today, they want to build their own kingdom. They want to have their own organization. Of course, that's happening in all the countries. That's why we have to discern.
Amen.
Spiritual discernment is very much important. Amen. See? So individually, what I'm trying to tell you, my brothers and sisters, is that you have a certain work for of God.
Yes.
Even the students, the young people in their elementary grades, we have something to do, always.
Amen.
Not just the ministry in the church, but sometimes just being a light in the world.
Amen.
Right? There was a teacher in one of the provinces in the Philippines that came to the message because of a grade one student. Of course, this grade one student cannot preach the message. But the way he lived, the way he ate his sandwich, the way he prayed before he ate during recess time, it caught the attention of an unbelieving teacher. And he said, "Who is your parents? Why are you acting like that?" And the boy just said, "Just go to Sunday in our church." And he went, sat the church. A few weeks later, she got baptized because of a boy.
Yeah.
The attitude of a boy.
Right.
Not a big ministry.
No.
You cannot even put that in a mission report, by the way. But it caught the soul.
Amen.
Of an unbelieving teacher.
Yeah.
Who now became, a strong believer in Christ.
Right. Amen.
So, we don't need to have a big ministry. We don't have to look for something. As the prophet said, just yield yourself. Yield yourself. Lord, here am I. Send me. Whatever you want me to do. Don't pick a ministry. This is not a multiple choice of ministry. That you can pick your choice and get the one that is, big and something popular. And sometimes the ministry that the Lord will give us, it's not the ministry that we want. Most of the time, it's always the opposite. Most of the time. When I was not yet preaching, I said, "Lord, if you will give me a ministry, I want to be the giver of funds. So make me rich." God didn't answer my prayer. Because he knows if I get rich, I may not be doing what I was telling God to do. So he gave me something to do. Something that I didn't want to, but and not that I didn't want to, but something that they asked for. But God knows what is best for us. Just remember, my brothers, that the work of God is always in continuity until the coming of the Lord. Until the coming of the Lord. The reason why a church is always intact, because the members can see that the ministry in a certain locality is a work of God. In our church, I'm the third pastor. The first pastor, you know him, Brother Nestor. We were an outreach of their church. 3 years later, he turned it over to a brother in our church who became a pastor for the next 7 years. Then after 7 years, he concentrated in one of the outreaches of our church, became a pastor there, turned over it to me. For the last 18 years, I became a pastor. 18 years. And I said, after maybe 2 years, I will be looking for somebody to give. And that's a good thing, you know why? Because, as Brother Samuel said to me, this is the best ever split that I saw. Because it was turning over from one leadership to another leadership, and the people stayed. The people stayed. So that's why I'm telling the congregation, if the time comes that I need to turn it over to somebody else, maybe a younger minister, maybe the next generation of ministers, we cannot do anything about it. If the Lord tarries, I become 70 years old or 75 years old, what can I do?
Yeah.
See? I believe it was Brother Samuel. I asked him last 2015 when I was here during the 40th anniversary. I said, "Brother Samuel, how do you know that the Lord is telling you to retire from preaching?" And this was his wise answer. He said, "When you keep repeating your words, that's time to stop." And I said, "That's wise." See? So all these things, my brothers and sisters, teaches us that the works, we do not own the rights or the copyright of a certain ministry. We just have to know that this is a certain period, this is our tour of duty, then after that, you turn it over. Turn it over. And maybe your ministry is as simple as cleaning the church, and one day you cannot clean the church anymore, somebody has to step up and to clean the church. Right? Every single ministry. If your ministry is just to be a prayer warrior, somebody will pick it up. Don't think of somebody who you will turn over it to. God knows how to raise his people. God knows how to raise. God knows how to call us. God knows how to orchestrate everything that's happening in our life. So we believe that, and I believe that we all have that revelation. Amen. As we continue in this message, as we can see the signs of this near coming, if we are still here, that means only one thing. There is still work to be done. We're not yet finished. Because when the work is done, everything has been said, and everything has been done, we don't have to cry for the rapture. It will come. It will come. We will be matured. We just have to have faith in the present time. Faith in the present time. That the Lord allows these things to happen for a reason. And again, we will not try to explain all these things away. We may not be able to understand it until we reach eternity. But God, again, is not obligated to explain that all those things to us today. But one day, maybe in eternity, we will realize. How realize that all these things happened because for this reason. And we will just smile in eternity. We will not argue with one another. We will not blame one another. We will not point one to one another. But we will say, now I understand. Amen. So with all those things being said, I believe that the Lord is always speaking in this from this pulpit through the ministers that are praying here. I thank you, Brother Wade, for giving me an opportunity again to preach. And I hope that one day, if the Lord will tarry and we can see each other again, we will do. If not, then we'll just keep on pressing on. Yes. We'll continue until the work of the Lord is finished. Amen. Now, the work of the Lord, as my last statement, the work of the Lord may be collective as a church, but the work of the Lord may be individual. Yes. And if that individual thing is done in your life, fulfilled in your life, and the Lord takes you home, then we thank the Lord. Yes. We thank the Lord. It's not a dreaded thing to happen. Because it's a graduation for us. Yes. Mission accomplished, go home. Amen. Right? Amen. Don't think of extending your life. Because from perfect will, you go to the permissive will. And sometimes the permissive will is not always good. It always has a consequence in our life. In my lifetime, I have more permissive will than perfect will. And if I will be born again in flesh, I'll make it a point that I will only do the perfect will of God. Yeah. Because you will have less frustration, less disappointments, lesser pain. But again, we thank the Lord for the permissive will because only in the permissive will that our character is developed. Our character is developed. It's all about our character development. So I won't make this long. I believe that we got the message this morning. And as I pray, before I give it back to Brother Wade, let's just all bow our heads and I will pray. Heavenly Father, how we thank you, Lord, for this message that you have given us, the message of the hour, the prophet of this age. And Lord, we have seen not only our works or the works that the prophet did, but we see your works in your people. From the first church age to this last church age, you're continuously working in us. Now, you also worked in us in our local churches. And we have seen that you have worked in us individually. Lord, may we discover the real purpose in our life. The reason why we are still here is not just because you want to extend our life, but because there are still works to be done. Help us to fulfill it for your glory, Father God. And Lord, make us faithful in this walk that you have given us. May you bless each and every one of us, the ministers in this church, the deacons, the trustees, everyone that is holding the ministry and every member of this church. Young or old, we commit them all to you for the glory of your name, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen, amen. God bless you all, and I want to give it back to Brother Wade. Thank you. God bless you.
Wall that they move. Why? Because God's in motion. Those priests, they may think he's not even come yet. They say the Messiah's coming, you know, if they're true Orthodox Jews, but they're still, they know God's in motion. So they move all the time. So God's in move all the time, but it's in continuity of his word, and we sure do appreciate that. We appreciate our brother, and he has developed through his time and into the pastorship now, and doing a wonderful job, and we sure do appreciate him, appreciate his wisdom, and hopefully we're going to try to get to go visit, maybe. Amen. But let's sing a song. Now, if you have a need,
the Lord as he passes by, you will find he's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He is passing by this moment, your need to supply. Reach out.
Don't miss your time.
Not too busy to hear your heart cry. He is passing by this moment. Your need to supply. Oh, reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. Did he pass by your way today? Amen. I believe he did in the Word of God. Amen. He passed right by, and if you didn't reach out and get it, that's your fault.
That's right.
But we sure believe that our brother poured his heart out. We thank you for coming, brother, again. We thank you, Sister Irene, for coming to be with us, and we've had a good time. And shoes? We were talking about going shopping. She won't go shopping with us. She says, we don't. You know, man goes in and gets what he needs and leaves. A woman has to touch everything two or three times. So, right, Amy? Yep, that's right. So she don't want to go shopping with us. But we praise the Lord that we, you know, listen, without this message, all the people that we meet, we'd have never met them. If you'd never been in a message, if you'd have been in a message and we weren't, we wouldn't invite you over here. But we're all together by one message. We are under the message of the hour. Amen?
Amen.
But that messenger pointed us to Christ.
Right.
All right, so we're going to take him first. Amen? We're going to take him first. Through the prophet messenger, and now through the voice of a fivefold ministry, the voice of the bride is in us. We've been talking about it, you know, before. You're the only God this world's going to see. Because you are God in human flesh. You are John 1:1. It just, it became from the beginning. Now it's come to right here. Because there was a time when God was over there, and then there was a time when God stood on earth in human flesh. There was a time when you were in the mind of God. Now there's a time when you're standing here out of the mind of God in human flesh, and that mind of God came to you and birthed you and brought you into the kingdom and give you the mind of Christ. And that's the plan of God. That's the continuity of God. Amen? Moses did his job. Each one did their job. So we sure appreciate Brother Vernon and his wife coming. They're going to be here around a couple more days with us, and then they're going to go on to Ohio later on in the week. So we sure do appreciate him, and he does a wonderful job for us over there. For maybe you don't understand, we send a lump sum of money to him, and then the brothers will come and say, hey, I want to go to Cambodia, or even he wants, you know, I want to go to Vietnam. Then those funds are allocated as the need. So the Lord, let's just pray that Brother Vernon will make the right choice. And he always has, I believe. But if you'll be in the will of the Lord and listen to the Lord first, not somebody's wanting the money, but listen to the Lord first, and then all that'll work itself out. And it has. And like you said before, there, This church has given more money in volume of people. I mean, I'm not talking about like 600 or 800 people. But he'll tell you, Brother Ernie would always tell you if he was here, that this church gives more per individual than any church they've ever seen to the mission work. And it was because that Brother Dale had a vision to help the people in the foreign countries. But you put that $5 in the plate, you put that $10 in the plate, it may send somebody to Cambodia. And they get one soul. Well, you know what? I believe over there, that one soul, the Bible says all things will be made new, all things will be open. That one soul will come to you. I believe God will anoint that person to come to you and say, hey, if you hadn't given that $5, I would have never heard the gospel. You as a church have given, there's no telling how many souls have been saved because of just what you give from this little small church here. And we sure appreciate that. We appreciate Dad having a vision for that and being able to be a servant and give. And he always has, and we're going to continue as long as we can by the grace of God. So everybody, all minds clear. If you don't know where we're going to Gillsville City Park. It's in the little town of Gillsville, Georgia. And just follow somebody. And there's a couple of ball fields, and there's a pavilion there, and Sister Rachel and them, they already took off, so they're headed down there. They're going to take the food. Be patient. Pitch in. If you're hungry, guess what? Pitch in. Pitch in and help them. You'll get to eat a lot quicker. So we're going to head down there and have a time of fellowship. We don't have any time limit down there, so we can fellowship, let the kids have a good time. We'll all have a good time. Listen, one thing. If you had kids, they're yours to keep. Don't expect me to look after them. You had them, you raise them. And that's what Brother Dale always said? You take care of your own kids, all right? Don't depend on me or Brother Collie. You see what happened with him. You need to get you one of them big shepherd hooks where you can reach out and grab them and pull them back in. But that's what happens when you let a kid go. You never know. But we want to be safe. We want to do it in an orderly manner, in an orderly fashion. If you are a visitor here, I don't see any, I don't think. But we need to let them go eat first. Maybe let the young kids go eat first when we get down there. So just do it decently and in order, and we'll see you down there. And we'll go ahead and pray over the food now to when we get there we can start. So all minds clear. Thank you, everyone. Kids, thanks for getting over all that cold and whatever that was y'all got. Just the devil. Amen. Had a wonderful meeting there in Bethel Camp, and then about all of them got sick. So devil will never win. Amen. They're here now. Amen. So he's not going to win. Amen. He might knock us in the head every once in a while, but he's not going to win. Nope. He's not going to win. So let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day you've given us. Thank you for our brother pouring his heart out, Lord. I pray that you'd be with him, Lord, as he continues his journey with his lovely wife, Lord, on up to Ohio, Lord, be with Brother Chad Lamb. We sure appreciate our brother, Lord, and we thank you for sending him our way. And that we do have a connection, and that connection is renewed every month when we send funds, and he gives reports, and all these things are done, Lord, as Brother Dale's always said, decently and in order. And I appreciate, Lord, our brother saying he would do it. And Lord, I appreciate all the ones that come today, Lord, that's under the wood of this church, Lord. I pray that you'd bless each one now as we go down and eat a natural meal. Lord, I pray that you'd sanctify that food, Lord, that will nourish our bodies, and that we'll have a good time, Lord, of fellowship around the natural food and also around the spiritual food, Lord. Keep the children safe, Lord, that they can have fun, Lord, and be, as Brother Louis said, get a little dirty. And that's all right. We need that. I pray that you'd be with us, Lord, and be with our brother. I think Brother Aaron's preaching Wednesday night. Be with him and bless him, Father. Just take care of us in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. Brother Aaron, you are preaching Wednesday night, right?
Who's preaching Wednesday
night?
Huh? It's news to me.
Oh. Okay, well, somebody, just show up Wednesday. Somebody preach.
There's the river of life flowing.